Welcome to another episode of the Roast Such a Clatter podcast. I'm pretty excited about our guest this month. I wanted to have him on for a while on my many different podcasts that I've been on. Never quite worked out until now, and I couldn't imagine starting the burn months off with anybody more perfect. I personally think he has the best voice in the Christmas podcast network and in podcasting, period. I love his podcast. Always makes me happy. Everybody, welcome. Mike Westfall from Advent Calendar House. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me. That's quite an intro.
I know. I tried. I didn't even write it down. I had it in my head all day, and I'm like, just don't mess this up from the get-go. You know what I
mean? That would work. No, I'm glad it's back. I'm glad your podcast is back. Yeah. I love the new name. I love Roast Such a Clatter. That's great.
You know what? I wanted to be the name from the beginning for my first podcast, but I was so obsessed with having the word Christmas in it because I'm like, oh, people never see it. Now I'm at the point I do not care how many
people. No, it's great not caring about those things.
Yeah, no, it feels really good because I've always loved the name. And Charlie, who made my logo, he really knocked it out of the park. So
he sure did.
Charlie's just love the logo. I love the name. I think it just works. And anybody that doesn't get the reference, well, guess what? You're not a big Christmas
fan.
They're
not listening, so.
Yeah. Exactly, man. So anyway, how you been? How did your summer go?
Summer went great. Summer goes by so fast for me.
Yeah, don't you remember when we were kids and, you know, we'd get off for summer break and it felt like it was honestly 6 months? It felt like forever. And now that we're adults, it's really just, you know, four pay cycles if you get paid bi-weekly.
Yeah, really. Uh-huh. And then, like, it's even shorter now because the kids go back in August down here.
Yeah, so
they've already been in school for a month.
Yeah, sometimes they do go back that early here, but most of the time we are in after Labor Day. So
okay, yeah,
normally the first week of September. So yeah. Well, it's good you had a good summer anyway. Are you already getting the itch for Christmas or what?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I do like to take Halloween first. My oldest daughter is getting really into Halloween. She was born like 3 days before Halloween, so she's always had the vibe. But
we're
always thinking about Christmas in the back of our heads too. My younger daughter asked today, she's 12, and she's like, when are we going to start thinking about our Christmas lists? I'm like, start thinking whenever you want.
That's
we're not going to talk about it until after Halloween, but you can start thinking about it whenever you want.
I'm more pushed the Christmas list in the summer, so I have an idea because I'll be like, okay, what do you guys want? I make a little notepad in my phone. So it's funny. Like, do you find your kids? So you have a 12-year-old, and how old are your other kids?
My oldest will be 14 in October.
Okay.
And then, my son is 10.
Okay. So I have two daughters who are twins. They're pretty close in age. They just turned 13.
Okay. Yeah.
Are they in that stage yet where like we just can't even speak sometimes? Are you in that one or they find
not
us cringe?
You know, there are moments, but yeah. They're few and far between.
Yeah.
They're pretty good kids.
I wish I had moments. It seems like all the time. And I don't know if, I mean, we'll get into it. You know, Christmas is when we first had kids, but I just find now there's like, they're not really excited like they used to be. And I don't know. Like when we first had kids, didn't you find that it really reinvigorated Christmas for you?
Oh my goodness. Yeah. That first, well, I mean, the first Christmas as a parent, and it just clicks of just like what your role is now.
Yeah. And
that's a special moment.
It's really big, right? And it really fills you up with Christmas again, because I've said it before on my podcast, like before I had kids, I always loved Christmas, but it just felt so empty because I was getting older and there were some Christmases where I was waking up alone and then, you know, I'd go to family functions and it just wasn't the same. And, you know, you meet somebody and then you have kids and then Christmas becomes Christmas again. And you almost it could be a good way or a bad way to look at it, but you almost live vicariously through the kids, but you're doing it for them. But partly you're doing it for you too, because you love it, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's a big part of that. Doing it for them, like, enhances it for us.
Yeah. And that's what I felt. And I guess kids, like when they're near the age of yours now, like you have 10 and 12, they start to kind of hear things at school, or now the internet's readily available. They start to question it a lot. Have your kids questioned it? Do they know the secret of Santa or?
We haven't had the discussion yet, not even with the oldest one. Oh. Well, the way my wife wants to handle it, because I asked her a few years back, I'm just like, when are we going to bring this up? And just like, we're going to let them come to us. We're going to let them figure out, see if they figure it out. And if they talk to us, we'll just be like, yeah, you got it. But otherwise, we're not going to approach the subject unless they come to us, and let's see how long this lasts. So, okay, great.
Ours really came to us last year with it and kind of just said, like, listen, we know. But I'd still deny it. I'm like, listen, because I like to let my kids think we are poor. Just like, no, you know, I can never afford that stuff. Santa Claus brings that. But no, they finally were just like, we know, you know. And instead of just holding on to it and, you know, on Christmas Eve, we finally gave them their last Santa note. And I just wrote on the back, I said, you know what? Being Santa for you guys was one of the coolest things I ever got to do. And I hope to God you get to do it too one day. And just know that we cherished every memory and just let them know that we, I guess, we are Santa, but to
Yeah.
always just believe because this time of year, I mean, we're not in that time of year, but we're in the burn months. It's special, man.
It
I still get
counts.
emotional about it. I don't know if it's some kind of weird thing. I need therapy for it, but
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I just
That's what the
always
podcast
want.
is for. Podcasting is the kind of therapy.
Yeah, that's the thing. You get out
If
like
you do
our
it right.
yeah, we get out our dirty Christmas secrets, man. But let's get into you, man. I always ask somebody who has a Christmas podcast, what really how did it start? Like, when was the germ of an idea? And then how long did it take you to really, you know, say, I'm gonna do this?
This whole idea of doing an advent calendar of sharing Christmas TV specials started like just as Facebook posts back in like the late aughts, and just like I'm gonna share a video every day up until Christmas Eve on my Facebook wall. And then around 2016, I was invited on a friend's podcast for a completely unrelated topic, and I just got that podcasting bug. I'm just like, I want to do more of these. That was super fun. So I was invited on a few more times. And then when I did that advent calendar I would do on Facebook, it was just, what if I turn this into a podcast? That can be my jump into this. Would anybody be interested? And what would they want to talk about? And I got a whole bunch of replies. And then I realized, okay, I guess I got to do this now. And I told my wife, I want a microphone for Christmas. And she remembered and she got it for me. And she's like, well, now I have to follow through with this. So it
Wow.
took me the whole year. And then I started in 2017.
Really? So it's kind of a full circle moment. You want to do a Christmas podcast and you got your mic for Christmas. Do you still have that same mic or have you upgraded?
Oh, I've upgraded. It's
Yeah.
I kept the old one. I don't know why, but it's there if I need
From
it.
small beginnings, man. And it's a little
Oh, yeah.
nostalgic, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And here we are now. You have one of the bigger Christmas podcasts, one of my favorite Christmas
Do I?
podcasts. I think you do. I think
Okay.
you. Here's the deal. Here's what I look at for Christmas podcasting and how I consider it to be successful. You put out episodes, but you've not only put out episodes, you've put out quality episodes. The editing's great. You sound great. You really represent us in a super positive way. Like I think, yeah, you're one of the Christmas podcast icons, man. You should know that, really, honestly.
Thank you.
I look at Tis the Podcast. I look at you. I look at Christmas Past. I look at Jerry. I'm sure I'm
Yeah.
missing a couple, but yeah, you're in that higher tier, man. And it's such quality and the care you put into it. It's so noticeable anytime I turn it on. So anybody that does that, man, they're in the upper echelon, man. You should be proud of yourself. You
Thank
created
you. I
something
do.
really
Yeah.
awesome.
I do put a lot of care in it just because my first career out of college was at a radio station, and I would learn editing from there. And like that's the joy of it. Like people dread editing their podcasts. That's the part that I like the most, just because I get to tweak it exactly the way I want to, and then I get to listen back and it's just like, okay, yeah, this sounds the way I want to it. So I
Yeah,
like
no.
that craft of it.
See, that's really good. Like, I try my hardest not to have to edit my podcast. I have a buddy who does it for me. So luckily, the way that my podcast is, it isn't as intricate as yours. Mine is just more free-flowing conversation. Yours needs to be edited just the way that you produce it. And I think it's fantastic. But yeah, I cannot
Thank you.
stand. I don't even know how to. I'm too lazy to figure it out. So I just have my buddy kind of add music and do little cuts here and there. So I can't believe you
Sure.
love
Yeah, no, if
editing.
you got, yeah, if you have someone else to do it, that's great. That's the only reason why I can't do any other podcast. Like, I wouldn't be able to host or produce another one
Oh, definitely not.
on top of that, just be.
You seem like a perfectionist for sure.
Yeah, it's bad. Like I would love to just be like a second chair on a podcast, like a co-host, and just riff like we're doing now, but
Yeah.
I could not like take on the responsibility of trying to host another podcast.
Well, honestly, like this is the biggest compliment I could pay to you. Anytime I listen to your podcast, it totally comes off like this is quality. You know what I mean? This is like everything about it sounds good. So you should be proud, man.
Thank you. No, that's great to
And
hear.
so you said you, it's funny. So you wanted to be in radio. Did you realize at a young age that you just had a voice for radio?
Probably, I didn't know that until very recently. People would joke and just like, I forget what I was doing. We were on something and someone said, "All right, bust out that radio voice." I'm like, "I have a radio voice?" And then I thought about it, I'm like, I do have a radio voice. And half of that is moving to Florida from the Philadelphia area. I like worked in Center City, Philly at the radio station and like trying to unlearn parts of my accent. So like I don't say water anymore, I say water. I'm just like, I kind of miss it sometimes, but other times it's just I'm tired of explaining my accent to people.
Yeah. Is that a Philly thing people call water wooter? Is
Water,
that a
that's
thing?
just how it's
Yeah.
pronounced. I still say Clearwater, which is the name of a city down here in Florida where the Phillies play baseball, but
Clearwater. Yeah, well, yeah. I've heard of that. It's so funny. I'm trying to think of the commercial that the guy says it. It's almost that really sticky tape or something where he puts like tape or some kind of adhesive on a bottom of a boat and it's still and he's like, it'll even like withstand water. So I wonder if he's from Philly. I forget the name of
Yeah, I don't know.
I
I don't know
forget
what you're
the
talking
actual
about.
name of the product. I'll figure it out and maybe name the podcast or name the episode that. But do
All right.
you remember who your worst guest was on your podcast? Because it was definitely me. And I'm gonna
No,
so I
it's not. I couldn't pick out a worst guess if I could think of it. I know, like, there was one guy that ghosted me several times, and I will not have him back on because it turns out he was a piece of shit anyway. So, but.
we won't ask names, but the only reason I said it was me because I was such a big fan growing up of Power Rangers, but then I didn't realize how deep the fandom went. So when I came onto the podcast, I realized how out of my element I was because you guys were like super into it, the different variations of it. And I was just like, oh man, I just watched what I thought was Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, you know, from like 92 to 95, whatever it was. And then you guys were like super into it. And I just felt so like I felt on a
I'm
boat
sorry.
by
That's.
no, it's not your fault, it's mine. Because like I thought I had a good grasp of it, and then like I was just on with super fans, and I'm like, oh my God, it's like I'm on a podcast talking about wrestling with people that only ever watched like, you know, WCW in the 90s. That's what I felt like, you know what I mean?
90% of that was my buddy Andre. He's a longtime friend of mine, and I knew like if I'm gonna have a Power Rangers podcast, I gotta have him on for that. So most of that was him. I'm closer to where you were, was most of my Power Rangers knowledge
Yeah.
was in that Mighty Morphin era. And only recently my son had started watching Power Rangers when it was on Netflix. But what he would do is he only liked to watch like the bookends of series. He would just like watch the origins of a new group becoming Power Rangers, and he would like to watch the specials at the end, and it was funny.
Yeah. No, he was really educated, man. Like he was cool too.
Oh
I
yeah,
enjoyed
Andre's the
it.
best.
I just felt like such a bad guest. And I felt like because you
Nah.
have a structure to your podcast, and I felt like I just wasn't flowing with it good enough. I'm always my own worst critic, man. Trust me.
A lot of this, what sounds like a structure, is really just going through the motions.
Yeah.
So no, it ended up really great. You were a great guest. It was nice to have like a second voice there. Like I know if I'm gonna have like one person who's really knowledgeable about something, it's nice to have another person there who maybe is watching this for the first time, or maybe it's been 10 or 20 years since they watched
Yeah.
this. So it balances things out. So it's not just a bunch of like super fans of something riffing on the same thing. And like those episodes work too. I've like a lot of the specials involving the Muppets that I've had. I friends with a group of people who do a website called Tough Pigs, which is like the Muppet fan site on the internet. And I've had them on a few times. And it's great to just bounce back and forth with each other on there, but it's also nice to kind of have that balance as
Well,
well.
thanks for making me feel better about my terrible spot on your
It really wasn't terrible, my
I know.
man.
I believe you.
I mean,
So,
the special, we did Alf's Magical Christmas for everybody listening,
oh,
which is
geez.
just a train wreck of a VHS special.
It doesn't
But we
make,
had a lot of fun with it.
it didn't make much sense. And I love the show,
It
but
doesn't. It's just, it
anyway,
was a cash grab. It's the definition of a cash grab.
it was. But let's get into Christmas quickly because obviously we love to talk about it.
Yeah, man.
What's your earliest Christmas memory, man?
The earliest Christmas memory I have is 1984. I'm 4 years old, and I think it's such a strong memory is because that's the first Christmas that my dad had a video camera.
Oh.
So I have a copy of Christmas 1984 that my mom eventually like copied it onto a DVD, and I still have it here. So I can
Oh,
watch
really?
it. I would put it on for the kids. The lighting's terrible, but you can make out this. It sounds fine. I can still hear like they had a record playing as we're decorating the tree, and it's like the Disney's Christmas all-time favorites records, and I'm jumping up and down on the couch singing the songs, and it's just great watching. You could see what toys I got on Christmas morning. My brother's only a year old at the time, so he's just sitting and marveling at he's just kind of becoming aware of what's happening on Christmas morning. So
Yeah, so you remember specifically the camera being out, and you can now watch it remembering.
yeah
4 years old, that's super early to have a memory. But yeah, I think I have memories from then too. But
yeah, I think a lot of it is just because I have that camera video. So it could just be like a memory because I'm watching that. But
so is it only on a DVD or?
It is now. They might still have the VHS.
Yeah, so you should just digitize it, man. Like with all my old stuff too, even as early as like 1990, you can get it digitized onto an external hard drive. So now I have
Yeah, I
multiple
gotta figure out. Yeah.
I have multiple hard drives where I can watch old Christmases or even old events back from the early 90s, and it's really cool. And you can just plug it into your TV these days, and there's, you know, an option you can just watch it on there. It's really
Oh
cool.
yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So growing up, obviously you had a big love of Christmas, correct?
Oh yeah.
So what was the best gift then? Like I'm really straightforward, and I don't think too much. I just love to ask the the obvious questions. Let's talk about
No,
gifts.
that's fine. The one I always go back to as like my favorite gift that I got on Christmas morning, and I woke up and I was so super excited about it, was Super Nintendo in 1992.
Oh my goodness, really? So
Yeah, I got.
here's a funny story. So we all love Super Nintendo, right? We
Yeah.
did not have much growing up, but for some reason, I think it was maybe Easter of 93, I got a Super Nintendo for Easter. So go
Nice.
figure that out. So when you got your Super Nintendo, did you play it right away? Did your
Oh
parents load
yeah,
it up
we
for you?
went downstairs, we hooked it up, played Super Mario World. I also got Super Castlevania that we played
Oh.
that day. You know, Halloween game on Christmas morning. It was a
No,
vibe.
that game is fantastic, by the
I
way.
love that game.
Yeah. And do you have a Switch now where you can play all the old games or no?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so
Definitely have a Switch. I'm a
yeah.
huge, huge fan of The Legend of Zelda and all of those games, so playing
See,
through a lot of those.
that's where we're different. I was a stupid kid, man. Like Zelda for me, I was like, this takes too much work. Like I just didn't want to play it.
Oh, love it. Oh, I love it so much.
What other games did you like? You must have been a Ninja Turtles fan.
Oh, Ninja Turtles is up there. Turtles in Time,
Oh, Turtles
one
in
of my
Time.
favorite games of all time.
That was the one where you could do a move where you can like throw them into the screen. That was the one,
Yes,
right?
yup.
Yeah,
That
that
was
was.
like how you had to beat Shredder in that mech in that one
Yeah.
level.
It was so fun back in the day. Like even regular Nintendo, me and my cousin would
Oh, yeah.
always play Ninja Turtles, and you had lives. And if you lost those lives and you got to the Technodrome and you died, you were done.
That was it. You had to start over or you had to cheat.
How about the PTSD from what was it, Jason? The
Oh, Friday the
Friday the
13th.
13th
Oh,
game.
my
I never
friend had
beat it.
that game, and that was he had that. You ever play the Nightmare on Elm Street game?
Oh yes, yeah.
Yeah, you could get four people to play that if you had like an
Yeah.
adapter to hook up for. So we would go to a friend's house and we would have four people playing, and when that 1-2 Freddy's coming for you music kicked in.
Yeah.
That
I can still remember that. That's
was,
so
oh yeah, man.
it's definite like trauma for sure. So yeah,
Yeah.
obviously growing up, and then meeting somebody, having kids, explain to me what the first Christmas meant to you. Did you realize how much it was going to mean to you, or was it kind of you were in the moment and you're like, wow, like the feeling's back?
That was definitely an in the moment thing. That was Christmas Eve and me realizing, wait a minute, we're Santa.
Yeah.
This is our Christmas now, and this is amazing. And just that realization alone. And she was only 2 months old at the time, my oldest daughter. And then, but yeah, that was really magical.
It is magical because it almost kills some of it too, right? Because you are Sam, but then as you're putting it out, and then you can kind of bask in all its glory as you step back and you can design the way it looks or how you place them. It's really
Yeah.
cool, right? It's
Yeah,
cool
and then you
every
can just.
Christmas.
I absolutely like take 5 to 10 minutes and just sit under that tree in the dark and just sit there
I could definitely see
watching.
you
I
doing
can't
that
really, yeah,
because
it's not as fun going outside when it's like still kind of hot out and it's
oh, right, Florida.
so
Oh,
yeah,
geez, yeah.
it's fun. Like it's not like super humid in December. It's a dry heat and usually it's like we did have one Christmas was when actually like pretty close to freezing, so that was nice. I would
Really?
stand outside and was just like just look up at the sky for a bit.
I don't know what I would do if I had to live in Florida. I guess you just deal with it. It's normal to you, but coming from like you said, Philly, like you would have some white Christmases there, obviously.
A few, yeah, and it was not as common as I've heard from other places, but every
Oh,
so
really?
often we would get a white Christmas. We had a white Thanksgiving one year. That was like a freak year.
Yeah, that sometimes happens. It's the same thing out in here in Canada. Sometimes on Halloween, you come home and it'll start snowing. It's really odd.
Wow.
But I stole something from Todd Killian.
Okay.
He had a guest on, and his guest talked about going outside at midnight on Christmas Eve as it broke to Christmas Day, and kind of just taking in the scenery. And I think it was the year before last year. It was snowy. It was snowing. It was so picturesque because it's Christmas Eve, man. The feeling.
Yeah.
I don't know how often you listen to my podcast. Anybody who listens knows I've said this. If you could take the feeling of Christmas Eve and bottle it,
Bottle it.
you'd be a millionaire.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so it's like I sit outside now at midnight, and I would suggest you do the same thing, even in the Florida heat, and just kind of
Sure.
take it in, and just even in your mind that you know it's not going to happen, but even to look up at the sky and even just think, like, even if it was just a shooting star by some off chance, right? You could just pretend it was Santa, or you could maybe see some
Sure.
reindeer in Santa.
Yeah, or
And
plane.
do you ever
Plane's
re
got red lights.
Yeah, it's Rudolph, right? Yeah,
Yeah, man.
I get lost in Christmas still, and I don't know. You should try to do that. Go out at midnight and do the same thing, or I don't know, make your own tradition. Do you have any traditions actually for like Christmas Eve? Do you make a certain thing? Do you go to church?
We go to church, and then afterward, Christmas Eve, we get Chinese takeout.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, that was something that my parents did one year when I was really little, and then the next year, I guess one of us brought it up and was just like, can we get Chinese food again like we did last year? And then that was just a thing we would do every year after that. And I made it a tradition with my own family and my wife was completely on board.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. I might steal that this year.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, that's a good one. What about Christmas Day? Is there any Westfall family snacks that get brought out? Is there any special dishes, anything different from a normal family that you can think of?
My wife has made veggie lasagna our Christmas tradition, and what she'll do was she'll make enough to like share with our friends. So that's another. This is kind of a new Christmas Eve tradition thing she's done, where she's made little pans for a bunch of friends, and I'll go out and I'll deliver them. I'll just drive around to our
Really?
friends and deliver them, and that's fun.
Veggie lasagna is amazing, man.
It really is.
You should freeze one and try to get it to me. No, but no, veggie lasagna, that's awesome. And she makes it for Christmas Day.
She makes it for Christmas Day,
And then you send it out to people too. Man, I wish I was your neighbor. So what's on the Christmas plans this year? The family doing anything fun?
we are visiting my parents in Philly the weekend before Christmas, like an extended weekend we're going up.
Oh, that's awesome. So do you guys do like a whole separate Christmas kind of thing, or kind of
We
just a
do. So
visit?
what my it's my mom's side of the family, and what they've done for over 50 years now is at my late grandmother's house. She would have a party for all the cousins, and she called it a Happy Birthday Jesus party. There was a tape with a song, and like we sang that. There was a cake, and that would be like when we exchanged gifts. We would do like a Pollyanna style gift exchange with all the cousins, and that was our family Christmas party every year since like the 70s before I was born, and. Like ever since I moved down here, most years I'm FaceTiming in and they're passing around a phone or an iPad as we're singing, and then we're just saying hi to everybody real quickly, and then we go about, and it's always the weekend before Christmas. This year I'm going to be up there,
That's
but
awesome.
this year my aunt and uncle who were living in the house, they moved out of that house. They're in their 80s or close to it now. So they needed to downsize their home. So we this year for the first time we're just renting a hall and we're gathering all the family there.
That's awesome. That's really
Yeah.
can't be cheap to travel, eh? You have 3 kids, a wife. It's got to be a
Yeah,
little
we bought
expensive for the
these
trip.
plane tickets back in like February or March.
Oh yeah,
So
it
this
can't
was,
be cheap, but honestly, I'm really happy you get to spend it with your family, and you get to
yeah,
go to
I'm
a little
excited.
hall and enjoy everybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm
No,
really
that's really
excited for
good.
that.
So I got a question for you. You could be as corny as you want to be, but
Okay.
I mean, I know you're, I mean, I'm a self-professed nerd. You're a self-professed nerd.
Oh, yeah.
What is the one gift that if Santa, truly existed, what could he bring Mike Christmas morning? Anything ever, something that maybe you didn't get, something that you even want now. If there, it could be anything. What is it?
Oh, good question. I'm recording in my bedroom like I always do, and I always feel bad that like my wife has to go like sleep in like one of the kids' rooms for now. She's good about it. She understands. I would
Yeah.
love just some separate space in our house that doesn't exist because of the way our house is. Like our bedroom's on one side, kids' best rooms are on the other side of the house, and the middle is the living room, the dining room, the kitchen. So there's really like no secluded area where I
Yeah.
can go to record these besides my own bedroom. So it would be nice to have another area to do that
So you'd
and
love to
not
have
get
your own
lost in
little
sleep.
recording studio
That would rule.
slash little man cave, I guess.
Sure. Yeah.
No, that's a really good idea. And honestly, your podcast good enough where you actually deserve one. So, I mean, if this was like a shit podcast like Manny Torres out there, so like
Hey, remember when
Feliz.
Manny used to podcast?
Yeah, no, I joke with him. He knows that's a joke, but no, that's a really good thing. And what about give me an underrated Christmas movie that not many people think is good. What does Mike think is good?
I'm gonna have to think about that. You know what? People give crap to the Polar Express a lot, and I understand, and I agree
Yeah.
with some of it. But when he tried to do it again, when Robert Zemeckis tried to do it again with A Christmas Carol and Jim Carrey, that's actually pretty fun.
Oh yeah. So you're saying that Christmas Carol with Jim Carrey is like an underrated movie? People don't
I
like it, right?
think so. I don't see a lot of people saying good things about it most of the
I'm
time.
with you on this one because honestly, I love Christmas Carol with Jim Carrey. I watch it probably 4 to 5 times a year as well. So
Wow.
we're in agreement. I love Polar Express too. That's the,
I
I
do
mean,
love Polar Express. Like I understand, like it's new and it's Robert Zemeckis. He's
yeah.
always been experimental with stuff like that. He did Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Like Back to the Future was experimental for the time. So like that's
Yeah.
just his shtick. This year he did that one movie where like it all took place in one room.
Yeah, for sure. And a lot of people didn't like the animation on Polar
No.
Express, which I understand, but it's
Yeah.
more the message of it all. I thought it was really good.
No, it's like everything surrounding it like just adds beauty to it.
Would you be a fan of Polar Express doing a real life version? Since we still have Tom Hanks with us, I think it could be really good, but would you be killing it?
I would absolutely be interested in seeing something like that. I don't know if we would need to get Tom Hanks again. I would want to see someone else kind of step into it, but would also welcome Tom Hanks to
Yeah.
stepping into that, like he would do a dual role of the conductor and Santa. Yeah, he could do a bunch of those roles, but not
Yeah.
that motion capture with the kids and everything, like get real kids.
Yeah. Or maybe just have him in some kind of almost Stan Lee role in it where he just shows up
Yeah,
and
that would be fun too.
let him be like Santa or something, or
Right.
because he was Santa in it. But anyway.
He was Santa. He was that hobo on the roof.
Yeah. So I'll ask like a couple more questions just so people get a better idea of you. What is your favorite Christmas food?
Christmas food. Okay, you know the Spritz cookies?
Oh yeah.
Oh, love those.
Yeah. So,
Especially the
okay.
ones that are shaped like Christmas trees and you put a little cherry on top for the star.
Oh man. Yeah, you're speaking my language now. You're talking to a fat boy here. What okay, so let's say that's your favorite dessert. What's your favorite actual food? Are you a turkey guy or no?
We didn't have turkey as the Christmas meal a lot, even growing up. Like my mom was more of a like prime rib
Oh geez.
type of girl. Something like that or
I always figured you
some kind of
looked
steak.
someone from Privilege.
Yeah,
Talking about prime rib, my goodness, man. Yeah, no, we never had prime rib for Christmas, that's for sure. We're more of a ham and turkey plate people.
we would have it like at a relative's house, but she would cook like some kind of steak, I think, usually, is what I remember.
Yeah, so you were definitely, what were you, upper middle class or what?
Probably.
Oh, you're
We
probably. I
did
could.
all right.
Yeah, that's good. Well, I don't hate you for it. Maybe a little bit. No. Okay, favorite Christmas movie.
Muppet Christmas Carol.
You know what? I never watched it up until last year, and I would
Yeah, I
always
remember you
ex
telling me.
I remember excusing it as dumb, and I'm like, oh, I hate the Muppets. I probably watched it 4 times this past year, and it's the most adorable thing in the world. I started to love
Really
it.
is. I'm glad you came around to it. Like, I
Yeah.
understand, like, the Muppets are an acquired taste. I do understand that. It's always been something that I've loved with my entire heart, and I realize
Yeah.
I'm a huge nerd about it, but I'm glad to see you come around. I'm glad to see you
Yeah.
like see more of the spirit of the whole movie around it. And Michael Caine just kills it in that
Oh, he
movie.
does, man. Absolutely. So we're getting to the end here. I kind of told you off air. Sometimes I let people turn the tables on me. You can ask me anything in the world you want before we get going and you promote your stuff, but go for it, man. You got any questions for me?
I forgot to think of one. We were having so much fun. We were in the moment.
I know. I try to get in for half an hour out, try to make it action packed and just, yeah.
All right, if you could travel to anywhere to celebrate Christmas for a year, like that you haven't been to before, or even if you have been to before, like where would you want to go for like a once in a lifetime Christmas getaway?
Easy question. Norway. I've seen the photos
Norway.
of
Ooh.
it. I've seen the villages. I've seen the history of Christmas there. It just looks beautiful. I just want to go to Lillehammer and just not have a Christmas there, kind of like what you're doing. I would go the week before because I'm a huge believer in being at home for Christmas. You know, who wants to have Christmas in a tropical climate anyway, Mike?
We will be back home for Christmas in
Yeah.
our tropical
Yeah,
climate,
so
but
definitely Norway. It just looks beautiful, man. It's really on my bucket list. I want to head out there. It's a good question. I'll often just look up on YouTube little tours of the Christmas markets there every Christmas in 4K, and I'll just sit there and be like, maybe one day.
okay, good answer. Good answer.
Yeah. But plug your stuff, man. Where can we find you? And I really appreciate having you on. Just
Oh,
plug
absolutely.
away.
Thank you. If you can find the Advent Calendar House at adventcalendar.house is the website. I'm not going to tell you how to find a podcast. I believe in you.
You basically just killed that because that's what I normally say. I don't really promote to either if I'm on other people's
I give
podcasts.
it, just give people a website, put all the links there. I'm not going to
Yeah.
go through just like I'm on Twitter, I'm on Facebook. Twitter doesn't even exist anymore, but I'm still on it.
Yeah.
Like
We're
I don't use Threads. I have a
looking at you,
BlueSky, but
Jerry.
clearly, yeah.
Every time I
He's
have him
gotten
on.
better.
Yeah.
Jerry's gotten better at it when I told him the same thing. I'm just like, just give them a website and they
Yeah.
can take it from there.
Yeah. No, agreed. But I really appreciate having you on. See, I told you I wouldn't keep you for long. We're in and out and it's painless, right?
Oh, I love it. No, it's great. And I didn't have to do any prep work. I just had to show up and have a great conversation.
You had to show up and just be a discombobulated mess with me, man. Was it fun?
It was absolutely fun.
Awesome. I really appreciate having you on. There was nobody better that I could have imagined kicking off the burn months with. So, with that said, guys, I hope you come around for the next episode. And always remember, seeing isn't believing, believing is seeing. We'll catch you next time.